Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
WGR Sports Radio 550 presents.
On behalf of the Buffalo Sabres and all of our great fans, we are proud to select from the University of Michigan, Owen Power. Yeah!
The Buffalo Sabres are pleased to select from Leksand in the Swedish Hockey League, Isaac Rosen. Yeah!
I think the interesting thing about this particular deal is that, you know, Levi's a really interesting prospect. You know, he played really well for Canada at the World Juniors when he was hurt. And also they had Spencer Knight, the young goaltender of the future, who won the gold medal at that event. I just think Buffalo's looking for goaltending prospects, too. If you look at their overall situation at that position with Ullmark testing free agency, they've got room there for people to play.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Sabres are up again in three picks, 88th overall here in the third round of the 2021 NHL Draft. We've got David Pagnotta joining us here on the Wester Hotline of the fourth period to help us walk through and maneuver through what has been a very busy two-day stretch for the Buffalo Sabres and likely will only continue to get busier. David, thanks so much for joining Brayton and I this afternoon. We really appreciate your time.
Yeah, not too much to talk about, though.
Sorry. No, nothing. Sorry we brought you on such a boring day, you know. Well, I guess we'll just kind of have to rely on you to carry the show, you know.
Yeah, I'll do what I can. I'll make something up or something. But wow, yeah, busy couple of days here, guys.
Busy couple of days, and I'm actually quite happy that we did end up getting the final details of the Sam Reinhart trade before you came on, so we didn't have to speculate about it. Let's start there, David. Overall, it appears to us, anyways, on this side of things, when you look at that trade, two things likely stifled the return for the Sabres in the Sam Reinhart trade. Or if you want to look at it that way, I think most people saw what the Sabres got for Rasmus Ristolainen and assumed that at the very least, if not more, they would get for Sam Reinhart in a trade. He's an RFA who has yet to at least acknowledge, or there has yet to be a report about any looming extension in place with Florida. So I would assume that has part of the reason for a diminished return. But I want to add in the fact that it feels like the forward group that is being moved here today and dating back to yesterday feels like the value on forwards is a little stifled right now. David, would you agree?
To a certain extent, yeah. I mean, especially when you're looking at guys, you know, that are, you know, pending restricted free agents and pending because it'll be official on the 28th. But, you know, guys that are going into the final year of their deals or need a new contract right away, the values of those have kind of shifted a little bit because there are so many different forwards that are really available that are out there. So teams have to be a little bit creative in how they're making these moves. Now, you know, on the surface, I would have suspected there might have been a third piece that would have come back in a deal. Obviously, it didn't happen. The first round pick that they get next year is top 10 protected. So Florida, you know, really, I don't know, if half the team gets injured and they get hurt.
Right.
It ends up being a top 10 pick. You know, that'll move to 2023. So just a little bit of protection there. But, you know, the goalie, look, he's a good kid. He's somebody that they liked. I know Florida had some discussions initially with respect to Jack Eichel, and the initial ask was Spencer Knight, and that pretty much killed all those conversations with respect to Jack Eichel, and they focused on Sam Reinhart. There were a number of teams that were in the mix on this one trying to make something work. Buffalo was adamant about getting a first-round pick as part of it. They couldn't swing something yesterday to get a pick in this year's first round. So they get it next year, and they get a pretty coveted goaltending prospect that they're very high on.
And, David, from the Panthers' perspective here, your overall thoughts on this move for them as a team that is very clearly finding themselves in this window, and what does Sam Reinhart do to their chances of taking that next step next year?
Well, this helps solidify their top six even further. I mean, they were deep already, but this brings in a guy that can play either the center position or the right side, you know, similar to a Sam Bennett, who's also up for a contract. He's an RFA. But it really solidifies their top six and then gives them a pretty deep bottom six as well, one that's got depth and one that's got veteran experience. When you've got guys like Jachary, Hornquist that can go in there, but at the same time, Owen Tippett taking another step forward in his development. He's only 22. Mason Marchman as well. And, of course, they signed Anton Lundell, their first-round pick of last year. He'll be given an opportunity to crack the lineup and see where things go there. But this helps really deepen this team. And, yeah, you're right. I mean, this is a club, the Florida Panthers, that are in a win-now mentality. And they feel their window can be open for an extended period of time, even with the question marks surrounding the how good, really, Sergei Bobrovsky is going to be. They like the development of Knight. They like they feel that Bobrovsky has a rebound season in him that he's due for, and they're not done. They're still looking at shoring up the blue line. They're looking to trade Anton Strahlman to free up a little bit of money and then eventually replace him on that back end. But this is quickly becoming a very, very deep team, and one that, you know, gave the Tampa Bay Lightning a very tough go in the early rounds of the playoffs. They're poised to make a deeper run next season.
David Pagnotta from TheFourthPeriod.com joining us right now on the Wester Hotline here on WGR. David, I was having this thought yesterday, and we've had a little bit of a conversation with it in terms of teams willing to give up these high first-round picks in the trades for Sam Reinhart and Jack Eichel, and especially now for Eichel. The focus now turns to acquiring top picks in the 2022 and 2023 draft, even though a lot of people say that the 2022 draft is, you know, more highly touted than this draft that's going on right now. Perhaps maybe the reason that some of these teams weren't willing to bite on a potential Eichel deal is because they knew their draft position and they knew where they were going to be and the type of players they could add to their system going forward. Maybe does that make it more enticing for a team to be willing to give up more in terms of maybe additional first-round picks or something like that going forward if they're continuing to talk about Jack Eichel?
Yeah, well, I mean, look, the talks will definitely continue and carry out. I think that the primary hiccup in all of this is the fact that Kevin Adams has been standing firm in what his overall ask is for Jack Eichel. And, you know, even going into yesterday, the price tag has stayed the same. It's a minimum of four assets, maybe three if you're talking about ridiculously high value. But, you know, it's two young NHL-proven and NHL-caliber players, and then a combination of top prospects and first-round picks. And that's been a tough pill to swallow for a lot of teams that, A, have interest, but, B, also want to know what the proper direction is in terms of his healing process. You know, there's not a clear-cut direction yet on what type of surgery he's going to have. There's still some confusion there and some disagreement there. They haven't set a specific timeline as to when they're going to go down that road. I suspect they're going to have this conversation later on this week at the earliest to see. And the teams want to know what those options specifically are. Again, going into the draft yesterday, I'd heard that they still haven't, teams that are interested still haven't seen the official medical reports on Jack Eichel. So, A, you've got to get to a point of proximity in trying to get close to a deal and then go through that process. I think, you know, that Buffalo's been transparent in what it is. They just obviously haven't provided the appropriate documents yet. But teams understand exactly what type of issue they're dealing with respect to Jack Eichel. Now it's just a matter of let's review them officially and let's discuss a clear path as to what it is, but you can't get there until you make a move. And for the time being, they're still holding firm. Could you include a first-round pick next year as part of a deal? Sure, But now, because we've passed the first round of this year's draft,
right,
you're probably looking at more prospect-heavy type of packages.
David, you know, I'm sort of wondering what your thoughts on the return for Rasmus Ristolainen were yesterday. Obviously, I think here locally, particularly within the fan base, there was a level of shock and awe to see the fact that Kevin Adams was able to draw a first and second round pick out of Philadelphia in return for Ristolainen and frankly, a rostered player. And I know a lot of that has to do with potentially some salary cap dump to create the space needed. But all in all, it's hard to look at the first major move of this offseason and not give a big thumbs up and an A-plus grade to Kevin Adams.
Yeah, give him a standing ovation as well. I mean, that was a heck of a haul for Ristolainen, a guy who's, you know, final year of his contract. There's no guarantee that he's going to stick around in Philadelphia. They'll have some discussions at some point soon, but they haven't gotten there yet. So really, you're taking a risk in acquiring a player that could be, you know, gonzo in about another season from now. So huge kudos to the Buffalo Sabres for pulling this one off. I mean, even the 13th overall pick just for Ristolainen alone would have been a pretty solid return. But to add a second next year, to add Hag as well, I mean, this was a really good move for the Buffalo Sabres, and you know, certainly applaud them for it because it surprised a lot of people. But they got the price. Philly was willing to pay it. So, you know, a win on both sides based on that. But, yeah, definitely some applause are due for Adams and his staff for pulling that one.
Looking at the situation in Philadelphia, they've certainly had a busy last few days, dating back to their trade, acquiring Ryan Ellis from Nashville, and now they bring in Ristolainen. They are remaking that blue line, but then also today in a trade with Jacob Voracek to get Cam Atkinson. Overall, what have your thoughts been on Philadelphia's offseason and really the better part of the last few days and how they're sort of remaking the image of this team?
Yeah, well, that was the mandate going into the offseason was, we need to make the playoffs. Get better. Do what you can. Let's get towards the postseason and make some impact moves. And that's absolutely what they've been doing. They're reshaping their blue line, bringing in Ryan Ellis, bringing in Ristolainen. You know, they've got some goaltending issues they got to figure out. Carter Hart's an RFA, but they're looking at bringing in a veteran backup to kind of play alongside him and help mold him moving forward. And you make a big move today with, that surprised a lot of people, including Cam Atkinson. I spoke to him right after the trade happened, and he was caught off guard by it. It's a good move. I think Voracek needed a change of scenery, and to go back to a familiar environment in Columbus is a good move for him. But I think, you know, for Philly's perspective, they want to tinker, they want to shift, they want to make some adjustments to their roster, and bringing in an Atkinson who, you know, a lot of people in Columbus haven't had too much fun lately because of how poor they've been. It gives him a chance to rejuvenate himself a little bit. Only 32,
yeah,
brings veteran presence and goal scoring ability. It's a solid add overall. And Philly's not done. They've got a few other things that they're going to try to work on over the course of the offseason, outside of just goaltending.
What do you make of Columbus in all of this? Obviously, you know, moving on from Seth Jones, he ends up going to Chicago, getting paid, by the way, and making a move for Jacob Voracek, the team that drafted him, whatever it was, back in 2007. Your overall thoughts on maybe their outlook, and do you believe Voracek is in Columbus's plans this year, or maybe is he an option to potentially flip again?
I mean, it's possible later on. I think they're going to hold on to him. They need to bring in some guys that have depth and veteran presence within this lineup. I think it's pretty clear and obvious that they're going through a full rebuild,
yeah,
with the Columbus Blue Jackets. So I would anticipate, you know, perhaps some other moves that are going to be coming down the pike in the next little bit. Jonas Korpisalo is a guy that is getting a lot of attention, has been a goaltender there. They've got Elvis Merzlikins. They're going to try to sign him to an extension. Korpisalo is a guy that's probably the odd man out. They make the Jones deal. They bring in Boqvist. They're getting younger. He's only 20. There are going to be some additional moves here. Max Domi's injured. He's, you know, he had shoulder surgery done for, I think he's got another 5 months to go. So they've got some things that they got to figure out. Gustav Nyquist is another veteran on this team. You need to have some vets on this club. But we're starting to hear that he might be in play as well. And the interesting thing that we could be hearing a lot more of in the next, you know, week or so is Patrick Laine. If contract talks don't go smoothly, Jarmo Kekäläinen, the GM of the Buffalo Sabres, has already had some discussions with other teams just to gauge what the market is and to understand if he has to move him or tries to move him, what type of options are available if he goes that route. He's doing his due diligence there, but that's a big thing moving forward for this club is the future of Patrick Laine. He's arbitration eligible. It's going to be, probably, my guess, a tough negotiation. If it really gets tough, it wouldn't shock me to see some more discussions on the trade front with respect to Laine, and there will be teams that will circle back and try to make something happen, L.A. being one of them.
David Pagnotta here, editor-in-chief of the Fourth Period on the Wester Hotline. We're talking NHL, Sabres in particular, but other storylines across the league, and in a frenzy of the last, 24 hours or so with trades and obviously draft picks. And David, I kind of want to return our attention back to the Sabres, in particular Owen Power. Your overall thoughts, he met with the media yesterday, obviously, after he was selected, and, the desire for... for Power to potentially go back to school. It seems like, it seems like both the player and the Sabres are in a win-win situation, regardless of what they determine, whether or not he plays in the NHL this year or goes back to Michigan. What are your overall thoughts about what you think is best for the player? And is that different for what you think might be best for the organization?
Yeah, I mean, look, going through a rebuild like this, there's really no need to rush, a player who's set on going back to Michigan for another year. There's really no need to rush him back. Rush him into the NHL. I think they understand the direction. I think they knew it going in, and they're comfortable with it. But let me tell you, this is going to be a stud in the National Hockey League. I mean, this is a player that the fan base should absolutely be thrilled about. So next year is going to be a write-off. It is what it is. It sucks, but hey, you got to go through it as part of this rebuild process. But the future is certainly bright with Owen Power on that back end. Coupled with Rasmus Ristolainen, this is going to be a pretty solid team with some of the prospects and kids that they've got, coming up as well. But to have Dahlin and Power on that back end for years to come, that's going to be an impressive duo back there, kind of leading the charge for them, kind of controlling the back end. But he's a big kid. He gets comparisons to Victor Hedman. He has some comparisons in part of his game to Chris Pronger. You marry those two kinds of players together and you get an Owen Power. If they get halfway to what those two players are capable of being, then it's a grand slam for the Sabres. So this is going to be a really good kid, and he's a good kid. Like he's got a great personality. I think he's somebody that's going to resonate very well with the fan base. And nowadays, that's as important as it is being a star on the ice. Being a star off it is going to be good, too. He's going to be a star in Buffalo.
David, last thing for you. Based on the moves we knew or expected were coming from the Sabres, Reinhart, Ristolainen, and potentially Eichel as the next few days potentially play out, are you, of the mind that there may be another move or two that this team, and maybe that doesn't include them moving out talent, but potentially trying to go out and maybe go get a piece to bring in, particularly at forward? They are losing a lot of star power, particularly on the front line. We know they've got two former first overall picks on the back end. We know that there's some desire to continue adding to the goalie room. They still need an NHL goaltender, by the way. But do you expect another move here from the Sabres that maybe we aren't thinking about, and maybe them trying to get better right now?
Well, I think goaltending is certainly one. I mentioned Korpisalo earlier with Columbus. I know there's been some discussions there with the Buffalo Sabres as well to see what the price tag is. He is a pending UFA afterwards, so I don't know if they want to go that route particularly, but we'll see how that kind of transpires. They obviously need a goalie. Allmark's going to be testing the market, so that'll be, certainly one. We've been hearing, Colin Miller as a guy that was talked about during the regular season. There's been some chatter that they may continue to explore a deal there on the back end. But in terms of adding to this team, again, a lot of it's going to depend on what happens with Jack Eichel because they want two NHL-caliber players as part of the package now that they can supplement and bring into the lineup right away. So I think that, look, again, because of the rebuild, this is going to be giving more ice time to guys like Mittelstadt, to Cousins, to some of their other kids that they've got, on the team and allowing them to kind of move forward. Is Jack Quinn going to be given an opportunity to see what he can do and so on? So it's going to be a bumpy road. You're going to have to give these kids the opportunity to get acclimated to the NHL on a regular basis. Could we see them add a few pieces here and there? Probably from a vet presence perspective via free agency. But from a trade route, I think outside of goaltending, I wouldn't anticipate too much unless something just really falls into Kevin Adams' lap.
Awesome. David, thank you so much for your time, my friend. We really, really appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of the draft, and we'll be looking forward to all the content as it spills over from just a day, 2 days, 3 days worth of lots of content creation. So we really appreciate you, David. Thanks for the time, as always, and we'll definitely talk again soon.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me, guys.
All right. David Pagnotta there, the fourth period. Got to take a timeout on the other side. I've got Joe Yurden joining us, our last guest of the afternoon, and we'll get you up to date. The Sabres did pick another Russian forward, and they are up next, too, at 95, 94th pick on the clock.
Sardarian, that is the pick. He was teammates with Poldipov in Russia, so that's they
I think
have
it's
some
safe to say there's
there.
Been a change in philosophy in Buffalo.
Maybe there has. Maybe there certainly has. So, and also one more note from Sardarian. He's going to be actually attending the University of New Hampshire for this upcoming season as a freshman. So he's making the jump to North America early to get in some action at the collegiate level.
All right. Thank you, Brayden. All right. Timeout. Other side. Joe Yurden here on the WGR.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I think we are going to continue to look in every possible way to get our organization going in the right direction. Whether I get asked questions specifically on Jack or on someone else, I'm going to give you the same answer in terms of we're going to be open to everything, but we need to step forward. And if we're going to do something with the player, it has to be of value to our organization going forward. And if it's for in our minds perceived that the value isn't there on any player, then we wouldn't do that. So that's how we're approaching it.
That's Sabres general manager Kevin Adams. The Sabres on the clock, or will they just on the clock? Two picks out of the last three. Josh Bloom, a left winger, and then their last pick at 97, Oliver Nadeau.
Olivier Nadeau.
They are stocking Brayton
on the wing.
Stocking the forward cupboards. Like, they are stocking the forward. Listen, this is an organization we knew that in the depth department up front. They just did. This team didn't have it. So they get the goalie in a trade. They're stocking pick after pick the forward cupboard. And now joining us on the Wester Hotline is Joe Yerden. Joe, they are not leaving any stone unturned on trying to add to this forward group within the organization pipeline. And, we'll see what ends up coming of it. But it's good to see that Kevin Adams has the same level of maybe desperation to pack this organization with quality forwards and goaltenders. And who's to say they're done?
Yeah, no, that's true. And I think it's important that he's going for skill players, too, not just – you know, I mean, he could be packing it with wingers, but they could all be, you know, heavy power forward types. But these seem to be speedy skill guys, which, hey, both are desperate needs, you know, at every level of this organization. So these are good ideas. And, you know, I mean, Botterill's drafts in the past were very defense heavy. So, I mean, you know, with very much a lot of neglect paid towards forwards. So this is a pleasant turnaround, all things considered, because it's been stark at forward. Just in the last couple of years at Rochester, it's been very thin.
Joe, talk to me a little bit. I saw your tweet, and I do agree with you about this Sam Reinhart situation. Do you think that maybe just based on the – how about this? The question should be, do you believe that the Rasmus Ristolainen return is going to skew the thoughts of every trade from here on out for the rest of time?
Probably. It set an unreasonable bar, I believe, because I mean it was an incredible pull. I mean, let's face it, you know, you get that kind of return on Ristolainen, who every stat, advanced and otherwise, tells you he hasn't had a great run. But that's the amazing thing of the hope of new scenery and being a very big, strong defenseman goes. I mean, and especially for the team like Philly, I mean. Philly was a team I had picked out a while ago to say, because every time I've spoken with Philly people, they said, man, what's up with Ristolainen? Do you think they'd trade him? And I'm like, yeah, I think they would. And this goes back 2 or 3 years ago. Forgive the fire sirens. It's not, I don't think the Jack trade's happened yet. So I don't think that's, I don't think it has to do with that, but I mean, you get a first and a second for Ristolainen when I think everybody was kind of thinking like, they'll be lucky to get a third or a fourth for him. It's an unbelievable turn of events, and I know the Reinhart return is getting some grief, and I understand because Reinhart is the better player, but I think it shows where the line's been kind of drawn with guys who are RFA this year, and they need to get a contract signed still.
Yeah, and I wonder too, even if you even look past the RFA status for Sam Reinhart, do you believe that in general, when you're looking across the league at some of the other forward trades that have happened, that just generally speaking, there seems to be a better, larger value placed on acquiring defensemen and guys on the blue line rather than forwards right now? I mean, you look at the Oliver Ekman-Larsson trade, you know, obviously the Ristolainen trade, the Seth Jones trade. It seems like teams are overpaying for defensemen and are grossly underpaying for forward movement.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a very particular year to have such, you know, glitzy names available on defense. I mean, you know, Seth Jones' deal was, you know, he's got a year left on his contract. He wasn't going to stay in Columbus. Columbus had to send him somewhere, and Jones basically told Columbus, you know, hey, listen, if I'm going to sign long term someplace, it's Dallas or Chicago. So, you know, trade me wherever, but like, you know, let those teams know where I want to stay. And, you know, Chicago stepped up, and, you know, whether Chicago was aware of that situation, maybe that tells you, you know, how that plays out. And, you know, the Ekman-Larsson deal, I mean, I think that was kind of the price of getting Connor Garland out of that. And, you know, I mean, Arizona willing to take on bad contracts just because, but, you know, they're very eager to get to the floor, but I mean, you know, to do that, you have to tell them like, well, hey, if you're getting Garland, you got to take Ekman-Larsson too. Like, you know, we know that they've been sniffing around at him for the last couple of years. So that seemed like overdue trades, kind of like how a Ristolainen trade goes down, where it seems like it's been overdue for a year or two, but the cost, I mean, you'd think the cost would be lower considering all the guys available out there, but each situation has its own flaws to it. You know, with Ristolainen, it's like, is what he's shown in Buffalo the real thing, or can he be turned around elsewhere? You know, with Ekman-Larsson, he's 30 now. Like, what does he have left? In Jones, you look at what his performance has been the last couple of years and go, oh, Jesus, he already peaked. You know, that's where you're kind of at with all these guys.
You know, I wonder, too, Joe, do you think that, like, Jim Benning and Chuck Fletcher, like, they got into a room and they were like, let's put money down on who's going to overpay more for an overrated defenseman. And then it just became a total wash where neither of them made money because they both just equally overpaid. Well, I would say Fletcher probably overpaid more. And listen, there is a history here with Fletcher and overpaying for Sabres players. I don't know what it is, but in particular, I look at what they're building in Philadelphia. The Ryan Ellis trade makes a lot of sense to me. This one doesn't as much, particularly when you've already, you know, made that trade. This is a player with one additional year left on his contract, and you know there's no guarantee you get to re-sign him. I don't know. I'm looking at those general managers and I'm saying this fits the bill, but also I'm also still left at least head scratching a little bit, right?
Yeah, it's definitely confusing. And I mean, I think this is the first time, if I'm correct here, it's the first time Chuck Fletcher's done a deal with the Sabres since Tim Murray's been
yes.
out.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's
he's just been champing. He has wanted to overpay for years now for something, and he finally got the opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, hey, listen, sometimes you fall back on old habits, and these things can happen. But I don't know. I look at the way the Flyers' defense sets up, and I think I can kind of see where their mind is at. It just doesn't compute. And you know, listen, if you feel like you have to get that guy, and you think there's a market out there for him, and you know, I have to assume that there are other teams sniffing around. I believe Carolina was one of the ones that were checking in on Ristolainen because they want every other Finnish player too. But that was, you know, if you feel there's a competition there, sometimes you feel like you got to step up. Thing is, you don't know what that competition is offering and what's going on. So, you know, in that case, it's good on Adams to kind of keep his cards close to the vest and say, well, you know, hey, listen, we might have to see what else is going on around there. You know, what else is going on out there. And, you know, suddenly it's like, okay, fine, a first and a second. Okay, I guess we'll go with that. I guess that sounds fine.
Devin Levi, or Levy. I don't know. How should I say his name, Joe?
I think it's Levy. I think. I'll tell you right now, I didn't see too much of the World Juniors this past year. So if we're
not enough to be able to hear someone professional say it out loud, right?
Right. And, you know, I know that people are going to see he's a seventh round pick and say, geez, what a letdown. You know, a seventh round, you know, a guy who's taken in the seventh round and a conditional first for Reinhart. This seems bad, but Levy, I'll stick with Levy.
We'll stick with Levy. I like that.
Wrong, but I'll stick with it. But he was outstanding for Canada. I mean, I know goaltending in Canada has been a little bit lacking the past few years. Just in, you know, as far as like getting big names and whatnot, let's say Levy was not considered a big name when Canada's tournament started up last year because Canada was kind of, I mean, they're always the favorites, but it was just kind of like, I could see them losing to, you know, X, Y, and Z. And he played his face off. He was just incredible. And, you know, he helps them win. So that's encouraging. The thing is, everybody's got to pump their brakes because he's going to go to Northeastern. And he's going to play for two, maybe 3 years there. And then, you know, then it's time to bring him along. And, I mean, hey, if he develops into something where he's going to start pushing guys, great. But this team, you know, the Sabres needed goalies. They need goalies throughout their pipeline. I mean, to me, you have to draft one at least, if not every year, then once every other year, just to kind of keep the machine going. And they're kind of on that pattern right now. You got Luukkonen, you got Portillo. Who's going to be, you know, geez, he might sign out of college this year, if, you know, all things go well at Michigan. But you're looking at, you know, kind of keeping the machine moving along with that. That's good because last year they had no depth at goaltender. So this works out. The problem is now they don't have any goalies at the NHL level.
Joe, I'm glad you brought that up because that was where I was going to go with my question is, sure, it's good to have, you know, prospects in the pipeline for future needs down the road, but you look at the roster this year, all that's left for goalies is Tokarski and Luukkonen, right? Like, what do you think the move is there to get some goalie talent for this year, at least in the short term?
I think in the short term, you have to like, maybe you're probably have to sift through free agency a little bit to certainly find somebody depth-wise. And I mean, you know, if they can re-sign Ullmark, that solves some problems. But say you re-sign Ullmark and you keep him, you know, how long is that contract going to go for? You know, what's the deal going to be? And then I think you have to sign two other NHL experienced goalies because we've seen Ullmark deal with injury problems, you know, in the last few years, and we've seen them run into other injury problems and other issues. I mean, certainly everything with Carter Hutton was very weird the last couple of years, but I think you need two other NHL experienced guys to go along with that. So, I mean, if you got Tokarski and Lukanen in Rochester, throw another NHL goalie into the mix and see how it works out. I know you're going to, you know, people are going to say, well, geez, you can't block up Lukanen. They're not going to. They're not going to do that because he needs his games at the AHL level. But I think you need to have that kind of competition going in there, and you need to have it ready to go because I you cannot run into the same problems you've had here for the last few years.
Joe, kind of last couple of things here, and as it pertains to Jack Eichel, you know, obviously that's been the trade that everyone's sort of been waiting on. You get Ristolainen out the door, you get Sam Reinhardt out the door. You know, how long do you think this stays status quo? Because it feels like there is a level of impatience happening within the fan base. I look at Kevin Adams and I listen to Kevin Adams, particularly yesterday. It sounds like he's done, A. B, it also sounds like he's not going to be rushed to make this move.
Yeah, in my mind, and, you know, I got proven very wrong on this. I thought he was going to be out the door before the draft even started yesterday. I figured that was going to be the one that would kick it off, and then everybody would slide after that. Then Ristolainen happens in the afternoon. I'm like, okay, well, that was a little unexpected. But I think in this case, though, we're working with a timeline that we don't know. Obviously, sooner is probably preferable for everybody. But I think this skews how you're going to do the return, because I think you could piece together returns easily before the draft yesterday. I mean, concerning picks and whatnot. But if you're shifting all those picks to 2022, and you know they have a perceived lower value because they don't know where they're going to land team to team. So, but I mean, if you're accumulating 2022 number one picks, that's a good thing because the draft is a little bit deeper with better talent. And you know, right now they're looking at two picks, you know, with Florida's pick in there, and that's great. Like, that's a good thing. Now, Florida's going to be really good next year, so it'll be a lower pick, but that's fine. As long as you got it, that's another dart in the top 30, top 60. So, so to me, you're looking – I think right now you're asking, you know, whoever's in the race right now, you're saying, like, all right, well, you're giving us your 2022 first, like, without a doubt. And at that point, you might be throwing darts further down the road. See, give us 22 and 23 your firsts. Like, that's now the price. And, you know, give us your top prospect and, you know, whatever big money player you need to exchange to make the salary structure work. So I think that shifts all the conversations. Now, I still think the same teams are involved, the same teams that want them, but the conversations change now.
Joe Yerden here on the Wester Hotline. Joe, I look at this Florida team and for this trade. I like the Reinhardt trade for them a lot. I'm wondering whether or not Sabres fans have a higher overall thought of who Sam Reinhardt is as a player than maybe the rest of the league. And obviously, I still think there's still a level of him being underrated or underappreciated here in Buffalo, but I do think that there are a lot of people that think very highly of him, particularly as an offensive player. Do you see him in Florida as a center or a winger? And does that, if you were a betting man, would you bet that this is something that maybe helps them get over the top to become a legitimate Stanley Cup contender?
I see it making them a much better team. And if he does play center there, he's their number two center because he'll be behind Barkov. I mean, Barkov's their number one with a bullet. And that, you know, that to me, and if he's not playing wing, if he's not playing center, then he's playing wing on the first or second line. And at that point, you're looking at a very, very loaded top six, you know, with Huberdeau, with Barkov, with Reinhardt. You know, you start throwing these guys together, and you're like, okay, this team's got a lot more going with it. You know, I mean, you know, they got Sam Bennett last year from Calgary for basically nothing, and then he turned into a point amassing monster. Like the guy, he looked like the guy that Calgary thought they were going to be getting in the draft, and instead, they used him as a fourth liner, and then he goes to Florida and he started scoring a bunch of. So, you know, certain things just seem to happen in magic ways down in Florida, which is very odd because they, you know, they've got as long a they haven't won a first round They haven't won a playoff series since they made the Cup Finals in '96, which is a staggering run. But moving Reinhart to a divisional team on the Sabres' part is really curious.
Yeah.
And I do wonder if the return is a little muted because there's not a they may not have an extension worked out, and maybe Sam Solman, like, hey man, listen, I'm just interested in 1 year. I want to go to free agency the next. But I mean, I don't think you have that conversation immediately right away, but you're going to have that conversation quickly with the Florida brass. So, but as far as what Sabres fans think of him, I think the take is very spot on. He's been a 60-point-a-year player basically the last 3 or 4 years. He scored at like a 35-40 goal pace last year while playing center and without Jack. So to me, these are all marks of a guy who can really produce and can really play well. And, you know, for all the knocks that he's gotten, you know, people say he's soft, he's this, that, the other thing. He's really good defensively. He's very strong defensively, and he's very good around the net. And he showed last year he can play center very well. So to me, this is a guy who's kind of rounded out now. He's a very good player.
All right, last thing for you, Joe. Give me your overall thoughts on Friday. On Thursday, right? Was that the expansion draft? Whatever. Earlier in the
week.
Wednesday. I knew it was Wednesday. A day. It was a day. It ended in day. I didn't watch the whole expansion draft, particularly after the first couple picks. I felt like I walked away really unimpressed by Seattle. With all the resources made available to expansion teams, particularly after Las Vegas, for them to basically make no backdoor deals, for them to basically leave a ton of guys they could have really turned around and made some headway with, or maybe I'm just looking at Tarasenko for this, but like for them to really just go the most boring route, I thought it was a disappointment, and especially in a year where you're on ESPN, this is nationally broadcast, a new network, new everything, and you just basically do the most boring thing possible through every pick, all 31 teams. It was disappointing for me.
Yeah, I mean, as far as like a spectacle, it did not live up to the hype. But I get an idea of what Ron Francis is trying to do with that group, and it seems like he's putting together a very – it'll be a quiet team, and I do wonder how they're going to score goals, but I think it's going to be a team that's going to play extremely hard. They're going to be that classic hard-to-play-against team. And, you know, there are certainly some, you know, on paper, some big flaws with that team. Yeah, and you could have solved it. You get a Tarasenko, you know, take a swing at Carey Price, do whatever. And, you know, maybe work out a deal with Gabriel Landeskog and take him. Like, I mean, the options were plentiful, and they took none of them. And they did not spend a ton of money either, which is fascinating on its own, but it lacked pizzazz. But like, you compare the cities of Seattle and Las Vegas. Las Vegas, look at all the competition for entertainment you have in Vegas. If they stunk out of the gates, it's not good. I mean, it's not good in Vegas. I mean, in Seattle, I mean, they've shown that they are intensely loyal. I mean, you look at the Seattle Sounders for, you know, in the MLS. I mean, they're drawing 40,000 a game to MLS. Like, that's wild.
Yeah.
You know, I think people are going to take to this hockey team like crazy up there because it's a very good hockey market, I believe. The WHL has been very successful in the Northwest, and to have finally an NHL team up there since, you know, first time since 1914, I think, is pretty wild. So that's all that said. Yeah, you're not saying like, wow, the Kraken are coming to town. I got to see Chris Driedger in that. Like, you're not saying any of that.
My thoughts exactly. Joe, thank you so much, my friend. Enjoy the rest of the draft today, and let's get a beer soon.
Yes, that sounds like a great idea.
It does, doesn't it?
Yes, absolutely.
All right, buddy. Thanks again. Appreciate you. Enjoy your weekend.
Hey, thanks, Nate. You too.
Awesome. Joe Yerden on the Wester Hotline. Going to take a timeout, close things off next segment here on WGR.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Hosted host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
All right, wrapping things up here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Brayton Wilson here with you to close things out as Nate Geary's got a tee time that he wants to get to, and that's completely fine. I'm more than happy to wrap things up for Nate and wrap things up for the weekend as well. Currently, right now, we're still in the fourth round of the NHL draft at pick 108. Chicago is on the clock. They are making their selection right now as Buffalo has already made quite a few selections today, starting with the first pick in the second round. That happened to be Prokhor Poldipov. He is a Russian winger. He's a playmaking guy, good speed. So they open up the draft, selecting him with the 33rd overall selection. Buffalo then followed up in the second round with the 53rd overall selection. Alexander Kisikov is the pick there for Buffalo, a goal-scoring winger from Russia. And I'll tell you what, from watching what I could from both of those players, they seem pretty exciting players. They got good speed, and especially Kisikov, who, I mean, just he's got great offensive talent, especially in tight. He can dangle with the puck. He can do just about whatever with the puck. So both of those players from Russia. They weren't done, though. The Sabres selected another Russian in the third round with the 88th overall selection. They selected Steven Sardarian with the 88th pick from the Florida Panthers. Sardarian was a teammate of Poldipov in Russia, putting up 30 points in 50 games. He's going to be going to the University of New Hampshire. And then the Sabres, with their most recent picks, turned to the Canadian Hockey League first with the 95th selection, selecting Josh Bloom from Saginaw in the Ontario Hockey League. Also, the Sabres, with the 97th pick, two picks later, ended up selecting forward Olivier Nadeau from Shawinigan in the Quebec Major Junior League. And the Sabres, they will have a number of picks still to go. Again, they have 11 total picks in this year's NHL draft. And I'm just going to bring up all of the remaining selections that they have. Buffalo still has four more picks to go. They will select 159th overall in the fifth round, 161st overall in the sixth round, 188th overall in the sixth round, and then 193rd in the seventh round. It'll be the first pick in the seventh round, and that is their final selection on the day. So still lots to come for the Buffalo Sabres with their draft class coming up here. If you miss any of the picks, you will be able to find them at WGR550.com. You'll be able to read up on each pick, what they bring to the table, and go from there as Buffalo continues to fill out their upcoming draft class. So again, three picks from the from Russia with their first three picks of the day to add on to Isaac Rosen and Owen Power yesterday, and then Buffalo just recently adding two players from the West from the Canadian Hockey League: Josh Bloom of the Ontario Hockey League with Saginaw and Olivier Nadeau from Shawinigan in the Quebec Major Junior League. That'll do it for our coverage here on WGR Sports Radio 550 in this extended edition of Sports Talk Saturday. Nate Geary, for Nate Geary, I'm Brayton Wilson. Thanks again, everybody, for tuning in. Also for Franklin Heinzman, who is producing all day on the board. Thanks for the good work there. We'll speak with you once again when we come back for our regular normal programming on Monday with the Howard and Jeremy show. But until then, enjoy the rest of your weekend. Enjoy, hopefully, the beautiful weather that is expected to be ahead for you. It's not going to be a washout like last week. So enjoy. Have a good weekend. Maybe we'll get some more Sabres action over the weekend as well. And again, we'll be back with you again on Monday at 6 a.m. with Howard and Jeremy right here on WGR Sports Radio 550.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.